Time once again for a wine chat with our friend Jack Farrell from Haskell's. Happy New Year to you, Jack, and all
Happy
the good
New
folks
Year
at Haskell's.
To you too, Denny.
Well, thank you very much. And what can we talk about today?
Well, what better thing to talk about than bringing out the old new year and toasting the arrival of a new year with a bottle of sparkling wine. But, of course, my favorite sparkling wine is champagne. And champagne is a unusual sparkling wine. Every part of the world makes sparkling wine where they make wine. German Sec, Spanish Cavas, Italian Proseccos, Italian Astis, etc. California, Australia, New Zealand, Chile, Argentina, they all make wonderful sparkling wine. And sparkling wine makes any occasion an elegant affair. And, however, there's nothing quite like real champagne. Now, champagne is a name that the French claim to own. And in every treaty they have written since World War I has included a statement. And in every treaty they have written since World War I has included a statement in there that the French are entitled to the word champagne. And, of course, they invented it. And real champagne is, in fact, Méthode Champenoise, the champagne method of making wine, is a costly, long process. It takes 3 years, and it is wonderful. And the same chalk that's the White Cliffs of Dover runs all the way under the continent into France and is beneath the subsoil in the area that produces champagne. And thus, the people say that the grapes get a lot of that flavor from that chalk subsoil. It really is a remarkable thing. One thing to clear up for everybody is I get asked all the time, what's the driest champagne? Well, believe it or not, it's Brut, not extra dry. There's three classifications of real champagne. Sec is the sweetest, extra dry is the next, and Brut is bone dry. In fact, if you're ever in Paris with time on your hands, and that doesn't happen very often with anybody, I wouldn't think, it's a great day trip to go up to Rennes and visit some of the champagne houses, and you can do that all in one day, drive up or take the train, and then go back to Paris. It is just remarkable. Champagne is made from only three grape types, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Pinot Meunier. And when you buy a Blanc de Blanc champagne, you're buying white from white, or a champagne that's made entirely from Chardonnay. In fact, it's so interesting, champagne, the name itself, as I said, the French protect it zealously, as well they should. The Italians have just done that with Prosecco, as a matter of fact. But it was kind of interesting, back in the early 70s, Domaine Chandon, which is a division of Moët and Chandon from France, opened a big champagne installation out in California, and a beautiful facility it was indeed. And everybody was wondering, because the United States had never recognized any of those Paris treaties, and we called all our sparkling wines here champagne, what the Domaine Chandon people were going to do. Were they going to use the word champagne like they did, like all the other producers of sparkling wine, or would they follow the French line? And they did. They just called it sparkling wine. And Domaine Chandon also happens to be a very, very good, in my opinion, California champagne or California sparkling wine. You know, champagne is around for all celebratory things, whether you're launching a ship, just having a celebratory drink, a new birth, a wedding, a promotion, etc. And there's a good reason for that. They worked very hard on producing champagne and giving it its special cachet in the world. When you go to the Champagne region in France, such as Rennes, and you see the magnificent cathedral there, which incidentally the Marc Chagall windows are worth the trip all by itself. It's been a wine area since the 5th century. The very first king of France was crowned in about the 10th century in Rennes, and with the exception of Napoleon Bonaparte, every king has been crowned in that cathedral. And they always knew about a wine called Devil Wine, which would, in spring, undergo secondary fermentation and blow up the barrels and the bottles because it was undergoing that secondary fermentation and learning to make sparkling. Now, in about the 1700s, they finally learned how to tame that sparkle. No less a personage than the Sun King, Louis XIV, is the one that acclaimed the great wines of Champagne. It's the first area of wine in the world to ship wine in bottles. And boy, there were some remarkable women pioneers there. Widow Clicquot, Veuve Clicquot, was a pioneer woman. She invented the riddling rack in the 1800s. Krug, Pommeret, Bollinger, all were found and appropriated by women. And there was no such thing as women executives in those days. But these pioneers in Champagne got their wines exported around the world. And once the Widow Clicquot got her champagne accepted at the royal court in England, they were on their way to great success. In fact, in the United States, Charles Heidsieck, Champagne Charlie, was a very popular song during the Civil War. And Charles Heidsieck, which has he has a champagne named after him, which is very good, I might add. He was the pioneer for moving champagne into the United States and making it a drink of our celebration here. Incidentally, when we're talking about champagne, if you have those saucer old champagne glasses that almost look like you should be a nut cup or something, very broad saucer, don't use those. They're back to using flutes from all sparkling wine areas all over the world. There are millions of bubbles, and it takes long time, a lot of effort, as I said, to get that bubble in the bottle, and those saucer champagne dissipate it too quickly, and you don't enjoy the sparkling. So if you have the saucer, use them for nuts or desserts or something like that, but go out and get yourself a few flute glasses. You'll enjoy the champagne more in those glasses, and you'll appreciate the bubbles more. They really do have some wonderful traditions. Louis Roeder, called Cristal, is their number one wine, and it's a very expensive wine, $300 a bottle about. But it's in a clear glass bottle, and the reason was the Tsar of Russia, that was his favorite glass, and or favorite champagne, and he's always worried about being poisoned. So they bottled them in Baccarat crystal glasses, thus the name Roeder Cristal. And, of course, after the Tsar was overthrown in 1919, they decided they'd try the crystal on the general public, and it's a great hit. Incidentally, when I've been traveling to Champagne for a lot of years, one of my favorite times there was back in the early 70s, when Moët had a wonderful dinner for us, and the Countess Margaret came in and told wonderful stories about her paramour, who was George Patton. She was George Patton's mistress, and she regaled us half the night with wonderful stories about George Patton and the end of World War II. But anyhow, Eisenhower got six cases of Pommeret champagne sent to him to celebrate the surrender of Germany, and it was just a remarkable time in that part of the world. They were very clever with the Nazis. They bricked up cellars, and of course in those old wine cellars, mold grows rather quickly. So if you brick something up and that molded, you would see that the grapes, or the wall, had looked like it had been there 100 years, and they hid hundreds of bottles, well, thousands of bottles, from the Germans, and at the surrender of Germany, knocked those walls down, and everybody in the town celebrated the defeat of Germany. It was really kind of remarkable. You know, they produce in Champagne about 300 million bottles of champagne. Now, you think that'd be a lot, but when you consider the whole world supply, that's not very much. But thank heavens there's wonderful imitations. As I said a little while ago, think about Sekt from Germany, Cava from Spain, Asti and Prosecco from Italy, Cremants from all over France. And so a sparkling wine is made in France, even though if it's made in the French Méthodos Champenoise, the Champagne tradition, they can't So they call it Cremant. And there's Cremant de Bourgogne, Cremant de Bordeaux, Cremant de Loire. At any rate, I think you get the idea. Some of those Cremants are really worth seeking out because the sparkling wine is indeed delicious. And before I close, I thought I might share a few of my favorite champagne quotes.